I want to launch a series of messages today that I believe is a word in season for our body. When I was in Rwanda, the Lord gave me a word, a teaching on worship that I've never done before. And it was based on Jesus on the mountaintop where he took Peter. It was based out of 2 Peter chapter 1, where the Apostle Peter talked about his experience with the Lord Jesus on the mountain where the Father came in glory and said, "This is my son, my beloved." Remember the story where he said he took Peter, James, and John up and tied them onto a mountain by themselves, and they were surrounded by the glory of God, and they heard the voice coming out of that glory saying, "This is my son, my beloved, listen to him." And so that particular passage has been something that the Lord has a kind of grabbed me with for quite some time. It's going to be a chapter in my book on worship. I've already started kind of writing that book called The Voice of Glory. And this from that passage in Peter where it says, "This voice came out of the glory." So there's a sound that comes out of the glory of God where we actually hear the voice of God. And we hear God speak. Yeah, amen. Thank you, brother. I really do appreciate that. I mean, there's a truth there. There's an exciting truth that when the glory of God comes, his voice comes with it. The glory isn't just to impress us with sparkles. I've seen glory like sparkles in a room. I've seen glory in the form of gold dust. We've had jewels and gold dust appear. I mean, gold dust came on a muffin for somebody in this room. I'm not going to mention any names, but that was amazing. God put some glory on something in the kitchen just to show how much he cared. But God has a voice that comes with it. And so Peter talked about this, and so I kind of preached on that. And so out of that, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "John, I want you to do some messages on not being an orphan and having an orphan mentality in the house of God." I believe that, and it was sort of addressed a little bit by John Ash at our conference two or three weeks ago about that. I don't think I've ever preached on that particular message. And so the message today is going to be the kind of the overall title here, but it's called this. This is my message, Roots of Revival in Identity. Roots of Revival in Identity. I believe with all my heart in revival. I believe that revival comes when God moves in such power and he moves in such grace and such authority that signs and wonders happen, devils get cast out, miracles happen, and people get transformed by the power of God as the word is preached in authority and power. To me, that's revival. Revival is when God comes in authority and power and shakes up the routine. Come on, somebody say amen. It's not a routine thing. It's like God steps in and says, "Okay, I'm taking over." And so when Jesus led his disciples on the mountaintop, somebody took over up there. It was Father God. And at that point, Father God stepped in and Jesus had revival. And it says the glory of cloud came on the mountain and they couldn't move. They could barely stand. And they had a vision of Elijah and Moses standing there with Jesus. And then the Father spoke. And when the Father spoke, all they could see was Jesus. That's revival. It was not Jesus' ministry, business as usual. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. It wasn't business as usual. And so God has times of revival for us. And when that revival comes, there is a very strong message from the Father. And when that comes, it shows us just how important it is to know God as your Father and to know Jesus as the Son of God. So the roots of revival have to do with identity, not so much as what happens in revival. It's not so much the stuff of revival or the miracles of revival. It's the declaration of the Son of God. It says that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. When the resurrection happened, Jesus was declared to be what? Not the Messiah, not the Savior, not the Anointed One. He was declared to be the Son of God. The Son. Now, there are a lot of important truths about the gospel. But I believe the gospel, the number one truth, the most powerful truth about who Jesus is that he is the Son of God. He is the Son. Because they kept quoting these scriptures in the New Testament from Psalm 2 and Psalm 110. You are my Son. This day I've declared you to be him. Right? That scripture was used more than any other Old Testament scripture in the New Testament. This day I've begotten you. The Son. The Son. Not just an angel, not just a manifestation. You know, an angel is a manifestation of God's presence. To me, that's an angel. He's a messenger of the Lord. And he's a very specific manifestation of God's glory and presence. That's what angels do. So an angel showed up here and started manifesting themselves, right? We saw that happen here at this very room where angels showed up. I believe you were here when all that was going on in 2000. But anyway, when it happened, angels started showing up and things started happening in very specific manifestations of the glory of God. But they all pale in comparison to the glory of the Father and Jesus himself. All that, as good as that is, praise God. Jesus is what it's all about. So I'm going to be giving you some points along the way, but I want to give you these, I think I've got 5 points here that we're going to keep hitting over and over and over again, and I'm going to be illustrating it various ways, okay? And we're going to be illustrating it in the book of Acts. But I'm going to show you some things from the book of John. The book of John, the gospel of John, reveals the Jesus as the Son better than any other gospel in specifically terms, okay? So I'm using the gospel of John. And so the very first thing we want to see here, and here's my title code. God's our Father, Jesus is the Son, and we are family. We are family. That's our song now. Yeah. Right? That's the song. That's it. All right, we're family. Ready, everybody? We are family. There's nobody here young enough that doesn't know that song. Do you know that song? Yeah. Kenny, you know that's all right. Yeah, exactly. All right, it's a classic. You know what classics are? Old stuff that keeps going. People keep singing them old stuff. Anyway, okay. Identity and revival. So I feel like God wants to impart this concept of who you are in revival. All right? Very important. You got my intro. Got it, guys? Say amen if you got my intro. Amen. All right, there it is. All right, next slide. All right. Identity and fatherhood are the heart of the gospel. You want to get down to the very heartbeat of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is that God testified to Jesus as the Son through the power of the resurrection of the dead. That is the heart of the gospel. But in John 5:18, it says this. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus. What pushed them over the top? It wasn't that he did miracles. It wasn't that he broke the Sabbath. What drove the religious leaders of the day to crucify Jesus, to stop him? What was their dangerous teaching that he was bringing? What was it? That he was calling God his own father. And by calling God your father, you are making yourself what? Equal with God. That's dangerous. Dangerous. Now you have to start with Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. And this is the amazing thing about the both and of the gospel. The both and of the gospel is this. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, but the both and says also that not only was God his Father, God is our Father, and that we are sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we, everybody say we. We shall be called the sons of God. We shall be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we shall be called the sons of God. The biggest way to make the devil mad at you is to be a son of God. Because that was the way Jesus got them mad at him. Because everybody likes you. Oh, you're blessing everybody. You're feeding the poor. You're doing all this good stuff. But start saying who God made you to be, and people going, uh-oh, I have a problem with that. And you'll start offending demons left and right. They'll start manifesting around you. Why? Because of who you are. It's because of who you are. It's not so much because of what you do or what you look like. It's who you are. Our room in the Father's house is not a guest room. Let's all say that together. My room in the Father's house is not a guest room. That means if you're not in there, it's empty. Because it's your room. What did Jesus say? In my Father's house there are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I not told you that I go to get your room ready? Because my Father's house, my room, is not a guest room. Come on, preach it. Preach it. Preach it. Because the room I'm going to is my room. It's got my stuff in it. It's getting ready for me, my goodies. That's not someone else's room, and someone's going to put me in. Oh, God made a mistake. I could tell. It's going to be done your way, your favorite colors, your toys. When you're growing up as a kid, right? Still have my Batmobile from what I made in 1967 when the Batman showed up at the movie theater. I made it, had a little model I put together. I didn't throw everything away as a kid. I wish I had kept a whole lot more stuff, but I still have my old Batmobile when I put together. Because Batman visited the movie theater when that movie came out, and they brought the Batmobile with it. There was no way I was going to miss that. No way. Well, I still have it. That's my room. In my room today, I've got two World War I soldiers that my dad had. I kept them in his room. Amen. But we have to know just how important it is that the Father's house, my room's not a guest room. It's a dwelling place. It's where I live. All right, next. Jesus is the way, and the Father is the destination. Now, I don't know when people, you know, how many of you have heard this scripture? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? Right? Yes. But do you always hear the rest of it? No man, I love King James, cometh. No man comes to the Father. So what's the destination? Yes. So the way is a road. And where does the road lead us? To the Father. It's not Jerusalem. You know what I'm saying? Well, Jerusalem is, obviously, that's where you're going to find the Father. But you see what I'm saying? We think the way is kind of like a way of life. Like, you know, I am the way. Like, we'll just do everything my way or the highway. That's not it. The way is the road that you take, and the destination is the Father. The destination is not success. It's not a thing. The destination is not an it. The destination is a who? A person. That's the destination that Jesus brings us to. Amen. That's the gospel. All right, next. John 14:18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So when Jesus died on the cross, before he died, he said, I'm going. But you're not going to be an orphan. I'm going. But you're not going to be an orphan. You're not going to be alone. Orphans are lonely people. I get it, oh, the lonely people. Eleanor Rigby. No, okay. Loneliness is the method of the devil. Because if you can make someone lonely, you can control them. Weren't we talking about that, Marianne? Yeah. Orphans, and we're not going to talk about what it means to be an orphan today, but orphans are lonely, and they operate out of a lonely spirit. Ain't nobody but me, and I'm going to look out for me because nobody else ain't looking out for me. Have you heard yourself saying that before? Amen. Orphans will say that. No, ain't nobody looking out for me, so I'm going to look out for me. Ain't nobody going to help me. Ain't nobody care for me. So I'm just going to care for myself. That is an orphan spirit talking. Take the sword of the word and go. Okay, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. Come back on the road. The road. We are family. Next point. We are family. Come on now. Next slide. Next slide. This is the most amazing statement that is not made anywhere else in the Gospels. It was made by the gardener to this gal named Mary who was grieving over Jesus. She finally realized it wasn't the gardener. It was Jesus. When she figured it out, she hugged him and didn't want to let him go. But Jesus already said, I'm leaving and I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. So we've got to tell Mary again, Mary, let me go. He didn't say, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan, but he'd already told the disciples that. But he's telling her, let me go. Why? And he explains it, and there's no other scripture, I think, that says it quite like this, which is awesome. It says this, do not cling to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. Ascension was very, very important. But go to my brothers. You don't see Jesus calling the disciples his brothers until after the resurrection. Because he was declared to be a son by the resurrection of the dead. That's why. So the resurrection is the birthing of the Son of God in power, where we become the family of God with him. Didn't happen before then. Now he says, my brothers, not my servants, not my slaves, my brothers. Then he says, I'm ascending. Say to them, now look, Mary had the gospel of the after resurrection gospel here, and here's what she said. This is the gospel. I am going to my Father, ascending to my Father and your Father. My Father and your Father. My God and your God. This is powerful because God is our Father. You could say the most powerful words in the Lord's Prayer are the very first two words, our Father. This is powerful. That's radical. Saying our Father got Jesus stoned. I mean, it got him killed. They wanted to kill him because he declared himself to be the Son of God. And by declaring yourself to be the Son of God and God your Father, that makes you equal with God. You got his DNA, right? I mean, whether I choose, I mean, I had no choice in the matter, did I? I got my parents' DNA. Just the bottom line. I got it. It wasn't my choice. It wasn't my decision. I didn't work at it. I didn't take a class. I didn't study hard. I didn't work hard. I just got the DNA. He's my Father. God is my Father. We have been born from above, not of flesh and blood. We are born of the incorruptible seed. Glory to God. We got the seed of Abraham, not his physical DNA. Praise God. We've got the seed of the heavenly DNA. Praise God. We have been born of incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. And my God is able. He is able to birth me. If he could birth Jesus by a miracle, he can birth John Heiss or Ronnie Ashworth or Susan Bay. He can birth you into the kingdom of God by supernatural means. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting happy in the Lord right now. I hope you are too, because we are birthed by incorruptible seed by the glory of God. And we could call God our Father, and therefore there is a sense of fellowship or equality with God. We're going to illustrate this in a story in Acts chapter 19. So please turn to Acts chapter 19 in your Bible. I want to get this foundation, and we're going to keep drilling this into our heads, those five slides, so that we're going to keep going over them. But I won't say as much next time, because you already know them, and I pray that you'll study them and you'll dwell in them and ask God, show me what it means like to be a son and daughter of God, so that I'm not just having an orphan spirit. And God will show you any ways that you act like an orphan. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, we're starting right there. I'm just going to read some of it and then skip down to a verse a little later. So it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. And we find out later that Ephesus is a key center of the church. It's in the book of Revelation, the very first church mentioned in the book of Revelation. It was one of the key churches in the early church, Ephesus. And he found some disciples there. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we've never heard of that. There is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what you were baptized? And they said, John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who has come after him, that is Jesus. And in hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And so they were shifted from a baptism of repentance to the baptism into the name of Jesus. And it says, when he laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there were 12 men in all. And so immediately we see this story about how people were transformed from the gospel into the gospel from John the Baptist's ministry. And that's a message right in and of itself. It says, Paul was in the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly about the kingdom of God. And then, of course, they spoke evil of the way. What is the way? Jesus. Where do we go on the way? To the Father. That's it. All right, which means the way is all about sonship. So here's where God was doing extraordinary miracles. Right there, verse 11, I'm going to start right there. This is revival because you have extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. So this is one of the revival spots in the book of Acts. How do you know there's revival? You're not just seeing miracles. You're seeing extraordinary miracles. You're seeing Paul, like God, just doing these fantastic things. And I believe there are reasons sometimes when God has seasons where he steps out of the usual miracles. Because we see miracles in this church, guys. Come on. We see times when God heals people, God saves people, God changes people. But then there are times when God just kind of kicks it into high gear and you're like going, whoa, hold on, baby, because this ship is rocking. And that's what happens. All right, so now this is what Paul was into. He said that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. And then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of Jesus over those who had evil spirits and saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They have to use that. They had that preaching voice, you know, because they were real experienced ministers. Yeah. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. So there were seven of them. One Paul, seven of them. But the evil spirit answered them. This is amazing. Jesus, I know, and Paul, I recognize, but who are you? Who are you? Who are you is the definition of identity. That's why revival, the root of revival is identity. I'm not going to stay here too long, but I will tell you this. They used the name of Jesus. But the demons didn't recognize their identity. Who was using the name of Jesus? How does that apply to me? So, what can we learn from this passage? Am I right in saying this? Tell me if I'm wrong. That you can use the name of Jesus and not have success. That you use your family name. Not just any name. Let me say that again. God gave this to me. This is not on my notes. This is for you guys. You better listen. The name of Jesus is your family name, not just any name you pick. It's your family name. Because it has to be connected to who you are. Do you get it? I want to make sure y'all get this before you. I know. You need to get this. Jesus is my family name. Jesus is my family name. It's not Heiss. Yeah, no, it's not Metzger. No, it's not, Hopkins. It's Jesus. And so when I use the name of Jesus, I'm using my family name because we both have the same daddy. I am not an orphan. I am not fatherless. I am not born of another seed. I'm born of the same seed that brought Jesus into the earth. It's the same incorruptible seed. I'm using my family name when I use the name of Jesus. I'm using the family name because I am of the same family. He is my father and his father. He is his God and my God. I am a son. He is the son. He is a both and situation. He's the only begotten son, and I'm a begotten son of God. Because I'm using my family name when I speak to devils. I'm using my family name when I deal with difficult things. I'm using my family name of Jesus. Yes. It's my name.
Yes, it is.
Because we have been adopted.
That's right.
By the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power. When was he declared to be the Son of God with power? At the resurrection of the dead. When do we step into the name of Jesus? When we were resurrected with Christ. Glory to God. And when you go into the waters of baptism, you are declaring, yes, by faith, I enter into the death and resurrection of Jesus. Yes. And as he was raised from the dead, yes, so am I living now, walking in newness of life. Come on, praise his name for that. Get a little crazy for God. Praise God. We're declaring that. And God, your Father, will declare you to be the Son of God with power. He'll do it. He wants you to know who you are. Right? It says he leapt on them and one man overpowered seven of them. That's a pretty good deal.
That's good.
One man beat up seven guys. That's a miracle. Right? And word got out. And verse 17, it became known to all the residents of Ephesus. And it says, fear fell upon him, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. And then many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and blah, blah, blah. And in verse 20, the word of God continued to increase and prevail mightily. You've got the fear of the Lord, you've got the name of the Lord, and you've got the word of the Lord all extolled there. And that's revival. How do you know you're in revival? The fear of God is there. How do you know you're in revival? The name of the Lord is lifted up. How do you know you're in revival? The word of the Lord is increasing and multiplying. There's something about the word of the Lord that just gets out there and it begins to influence people and change things. Why? Because the fear of God comes down there and people hear about it. Like, whoa, I ain't going to mess with the Lord. And then the name of Jesus gets lifted up. People heard there was revival was going on here, and they're like coming from all over. Why? Jesus was being lifted up. And people are like, okay, I want to check this out. All right, so now.